Well, it's been a blessing to be here, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to come. And I thank you for your kindness to us. And we had a wonderful evening, wonderful meal, and then a good time of relaxation in the back. Thank you for providing that for us. We certainly appreciate it and thank the Lord for it. Since you're standing, we'll read a shorter amount of scripture this evening. I want to bring your attention, if I can, to the first chapter of Daniel, and we'll start reading verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning, in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hannah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That's as far as we'll read right now. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to be here again. Thank you for those that have gathered here in this place. I pray that you please, Lord, bless the pastors. He's gone. Give him what he needs this week, Lord. Give him direction, guidance, understanding, boldness, wisdom, Lord. And I pray that you'd help him to preach with the power of God. And please, Lord, help him to have a safe return back. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us here now for a little while. Please let me say something, Lord, tonight. The Holy Spirit would use in the hearts of people for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much. I know in this passage of Scripture, most of us are very familiar with this, and I want to bring your attention to a few things tonight, if I can, by way of this passage of Scripture and a couple of others here in this book. And I want to deal with this thought tonight, circumstances and choices. Circumstances and choices. And so we'll see some similarity in each of these accounts that we'll deal with tonight. But I want us to understand that in life, life doesn't always go as we wish it would. That's just the truth of the matter. A lot of things happen along life's way that if we could choose, we probably would have chosen it to be different than it turned out to be. Here in this passage of Scripture and others, some things have happened, and I will address them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. I know that's not the names that they were given, but in this thought, except for Daniel, but in this thought tonight, I want you to notice that as far as we know, these young men had a heart for God, and they were minding their own business, and in this passage of Scripture, Nebuchadnezzar taking over their land, and they'd been given into his control and his hand, and now they have been taken out of their normal situation and brought into a circumstance beyond their control. And a lot of times in life, that's what happens. We find ourselves in a situation many times beyond our control. We would have chosen a different way, a different mode of life, or a different way to live our life as far as the circumstances around us. You may have had goals and aspirations as a younger person. I know when Kim and I started out almost 40 years ago together, we had goals and dreams and anticipations of our family and things that would happen that didn't turn out the way we had hoped. And perhaps you have experienced similar things in your life, the circumstances of life. We sometimes have no control over them. Sometimes they're things that we have made ourselves, but a lot of times they're things that we didn't want to happen. And here we find these four young men in a circumstance in their life that no doubt they would have chosen to be different if they had a choice to do so. But they didn't have any say-so in it. They were taken by force and brought into another country, and their whole life has been rearranged and turned upside down. And the circumstances in their life, they had absolutely no control over. Unfortunately, many times we have experienced the same things. It might not be on this level, it might not be to this degree, but other aspects in our lives have not been of our own will or what we would like to have happened, but nevertheless, here we are. And so I see these young men, they're in a situation where they are placed under the pressure and all the trials and hardships that they are going through, and their circumstances have no doubt have hindered them and been a burden to them and not a blessing. And sometimes we want to think that all of life is a blessing. It'd be nice if it was that way sometimes, wouldn't it be? But that's just not the way it always is. And here these men find themselves in circumstances are not very good. But I'm dealing with this thought tonight, circumstances and choices. And when we find ourselves under certain circumstances of life, we have a choice how to react and act during those times. I would be very, very naive to try to get you to think that I always made the right choices in circumstances of life. Many times you look back on the way you acted or reacted, and you would have changed those things perhaps. But here these young men are. They are taken out of their home. They're led away captive. They're put in a different circumstance and situation, a different place entirely. And then they are told that they're going to participate in what the world has. The king is going to give them what to eat and drink. And Daniel, it says in verse number 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. So Daniel thought, this is not just an alternative. This would defile us if we participated in that. And sometimes life and circumstances and that we are in, we find ourselves not in a place where we would choose perhaps, but also we have to understand that if we go along with what's going on, if we just roll with the punches and just go the way with the flow, we'll find ourselves doing things that would defile us and contradict what we have said we believed in all along. And here these young men have found themselves in that situation. Now Daniel, it says here, purposed in his heart, but if you'll read on down, you'll find that the other three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he includes them in this, and these four men bind together to make up a opposition to go in the way of the world and the way that the king wants them to go. Now, in this particular story, we find out that the king, of course, represents government. And we will find in our lives that many times government is going to try to dictate to us how we live and do and what we say and what we believe. I guess it's always been that way to some degree. But probably, if nothing happens, it's going to get worse. And government is going to try to intrude upon the things that we believe. They already try to do that on the things that our lifestyle and things that we participate in many times. They are very much involved in bringing liquor into communities. It doesn't matter what the church says about it. It doesn't matter. Used to, the church used to have some voice in the community, but we've lost that, and now the government and all the people with the money, they control pretty much what goes on, and if they think they can make another dime out of it, they there's no telling what they would legalize. But here, it does not mean that we have to participate in it. And so the men here, these four young men, they have purposed in their heart they're not going to do it. And so you know the story. They ask permission to not do that. They come out and God blesses them and helps them and lets them appear before them better than the ones that did fall for it. Now, you have to realize there's a whole bunch of people that was brought out with them. They're not the only four. But they're the only four, as far as we know, that chose not to go the way that the king has demanded. And praise God, their choices were not persuaded by their circumstance. And I would like to encourage us tonight, when life gets so heavy and so hard and takes a deviation from the way that we would like for it to have been, we must make choices to stay with God and do the will of God in our lives. Government will nevertheless try to mandate that the children of God do something different. Government has legalized same-sex marriage. And the people of God, if they are people of God, refuse to accept that. But yet it's crammed down our throats. And we must make a choice, even though the circumstances around us are not what we wish. We have to make a choice not to give in and say, well, the government says it's all right, so we must go along with it. Or abortion, or any other sinful, ungodly thing that we might think is contrary to what we believe. Doesn't matter if the government condones it or not, it's still wrong. And we must make a choice to take that stand, even if our circumstances around us change and bring us into a situation where we'd rather not be. So we see here in this passage of Scripture that these men have taken a stand, they've made choices, even though they're in circumstances that they do not agree with and wish had never happened. Well, we know the same similar situation in chapter number 3. Turn over there for a moment, Daniel chapter number 3. In Daniel chapter number 3, we know this story well about the three Hebrew children. In chapter number 1, it was four of them stood together. In chapter number 3, there's three of them. Daniel's not mentioned in this passage of Scripture. If you got the answer for that, you can tell me later. There's speculation, but I don't know. But for whatever reason, Daniel's not involved in this one. It's the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here, once again, the king has made a decree. It says in verse number 3 of chapter 3, then the princes and governors and captains and judges and treasurers and counselors and sheriffs and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the temple that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and Herod cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that whatever time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the sark, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Here we see the decree in this passage of Scripture. Now here these young men are, excuse me, they get through chapter number 1, and they may be like us. Praise God, those circumstances are over with. I don't want to ever deal with anything like that again, and I'm glad that's behind us. Now we'll just do what we're supposed to do and live like we're supposed to live. And two chapters later, they're in another circumstance in their life. They find themselves in even a more precarious situation here. Now, the king, the government again, has made a decree that everybody must bow down and worship this false and golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has made. And nevertheless, they have made up their mind they're not going to do it. They're not going to succumb to their circumstances. They're not going to just step in line with everybody else to make it easier or make it more convenient. They're going to stand on the principles that's in their heart. And we know that they, in this passage of Scripture, refuse to bow before the image. And it says in this passage of Scripture, look in verse number 12. It says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Here they point them out specifically. It's not just there's some guys out here not cooperating. No, they're named specifically. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Chapter 1, number 1 was four young men. Chapter 3 is 3 young men. And we find out that the government is trying to mandate things over them that they are not willing to go along with, and they stand their ground. And they know the consequences. They know what's going to happen if they do that, but they're still willing to do that, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, we must make up our mind that we're going to stay with God no matter the pressures and the problems that the world brings against us, and even our very own government that comes against the people of God and the things of God. This church supports a radio station, has a radio station, but you know that's under the government's control. They could come in tomorrow and shut it all down. The FCC controls that. I know other churches have radio stations, and they're well aware of that. And they are constantly reminded that the things that go out across the airwaves here, that they don't necessarily line up with society. But nevertheless, they go on and give out the truth, and they give money, and they collect money, and they raise money to keep it going forward. There could come a day when the government says, that's it, and take it all away from you. And I don't mean to be hostile. I don't mean to be belligerent, but the government has no say-so on what the church does. The church is ran and ruled by Almighty God and by the Word of God. And the people of God are the ones that give the money to have a church and to continue it going. It's none of the government's business what happens. But yet, we'll find ourselves in circumstances where we are put under the pressure and under the difficulties of life. And in this situation, these men, they either bow or they burn, and we understand the outcome of it all, that God is going to protect them and take care of them. But they said this in verse number 18, and they said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, we've heard that so much, and we apply that to like a child's story, but I'm telling you, that applies to all of us. When the pressures of life and the circumstances, they go contrary to what we want and what we wish, we still have to make a choice in our lives whether to go on with God or to give in to the circumstances. And these men are not willing to do that. Praise God for that. They're willing to go on for God and do the will of God. And I would say this, and don't judge me for this, okay? But I heard a preacher say this one time, and I had to really think about it, but he said that he wishes there was no First Amendment when it comes to preaching the gospel. And I thought about that statement that he made. He wishes to know a First Amendment. That gives us the right to say it. But he said we have the right to say it from the Bible. And if man agrees with it or doesn't agree with it, doesn't negate the fact that we still have an obligation to give out the gospel. And I would say that if the First Amendment was taken away, a lot of men would be quiet because they would be afraid to preach the gospel. But may I remind you, there was no First Amendment in Paul's day. There was no amendment, First Amendment in Jesus' day. There was no First Amendment in John the Baptist's day. And because of that, you say, well, look what happened to them. I understand what happened to them. But I have heard men say this. They said, I would give my life for a false religion to have their right to preach to preach what they believe. I don't believe that. Why would a man that believes the Bible give his life so somebody else could preach heresy? No, friend, we're supposed to give our life to preach this book and this truth. And I'm telling you, we're going to be put under the pressure if the First Amendment is ever taken away. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we must still preach the gospel regardless of what the government or anybody else says. We think, well, we're protected from going to jail. Oh, is that right? Not necessarily. I've been put in jail before for preaching the gospel. A lot of other people have too. And I'm telling you, this fact of circumstances around these men here, they did not dictate the choices that they made. None of us have ever been put in this situation. None of us have ever been put in a situation, you either do what we say and reject what you think is right, or we're going to burn you in a furnace of fire. None of us have ever been there. But these men were. And I'm telling you, regardless of the circumstances around them, regardless of the outcome, they've made up their mind they're going to stand for God and do the will of God regardless. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when your pastor, the man of God here, stands and preaches and boldly proclaims the truth of God, it doesn't matter what the world says, and it doesn't matter what the government says. You stand with him. Scotch him up. Back him up. Do what God has called you to do and stand for the truth of the gospel regardless of the outcome. Many of our forefathers were burned at the stake, pulled asunder. You read all the things in Hebrews it talks about. They did that for the gospel's sake. They did that for the truth of the word of God's sake. They didn't give in to what the government said. They didn't give in to what society said. Society thinks we're crazy. If we was to sit down with anybody out in the world and tell them what the Bible says and tell them what we believe, they would absolutely think we were crazy. That doesn't matter. What they think or the circumstances we find ourselves in or the pressures they try to put under us has no bearing on what we do and believe and adhere to in this book, in the scriptures. You and I must stand. In spite of the circumstances of life, we must make a choice to serve God. Oh, I know that things happen in our life and sometimes you just want to give up. You just want to quit. Well, what you going to do if you quit? What you going to do? Our youth choir sings a song and then a line in the song says, there's nothing to go back to. And when I look at where I was at before I got saved, I'm telling you, I don't want to go back to that. I have no desire to be like that anymore. I have no ambition to go back to that lifestyle, live like that. There's nothing back there to draw me anymore. So if we was to quit, just give up, what we're going to do? We might as well just make up our mind to go on with God. Let God sort it all out. When we stand before God, maybe He'll tell us why. Maybe He won't. The circumstances of our life and situation were not what we wished they had been, but God knew all about it. And you and I must understand, these men had absolutely no input on their circumstances. But they did have an input on their choices. And they made the choice to follow after God regardless of the consequences. Daniel chapter 6, and I'll be done. Look at this, if you will, please. Daniel chapter 1, we had four young men. Daniel chapter 3, we had three young men. Daniel chapter 6, we have one man. It's a little bit easier to stand when you got a group with you. That's just the truth. But sometimes we may be called upon to stand by ourselves. The circumstances of life may be directed only toward us. Maybe nobody in the church is experiencing what you're experiencing at that particular point in time. So you will have to make up your mind that you're going to follow after God regardless of the circumstances in your life. Here we know the story about Daniel in the lion's den. We understand that well. Look what it says in verse number 6 of Daniel chapter number 6. Then these presidents and priests assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. See the pressure? See the circumstance? Chapter 1's done. They move on with their life thinking that's behind us. And lo and behold, just two chapters later, something else occurs. And it's even seemingly even worse than chapter number 1. Now we are in chapter number 6, just three chapters later. And here another circumstances arise in just one man, Daniel, and he finds himself under the decree of the government again, under the decree of all the people that are anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-truth. And Daniel is the man that's in the circumstances in chapter number 6. And Daniel could have very easily said, well, I'll just hold off for a few days. I'll just set what I do aside, just wait. I'll change my course of action where they can't see me, where nobody will know that I'm still praying. I'll just pray under my breath. Daniel knew what happened. Look what it says in verse number 10. Verse number 9. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew what had happened. He wasn't caught off guard. He knew exactly what happened. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. The king's decree, the government's rules and regulations, his circumstances did not change his devotion to God. Made up his mind he was going to live for God regardless. What they had to say had no bearing on what he did. Oh, that God would give us the backbone and God would give us the stamina and the decision making in our life that we're going to live for God regardless of the circumstances. Now tomorrow, your life may fall apart tomorrow, and mine may too. None of us know what's going to happen. Circumstances of life, I know people that their health fell apart all of a sudden, unexpectedly. I know sometimes tragedy comes into a home unexpectedly. We don't know what the circumstances of life are going to bring. You might have come through some hardships and trials in your life and think, praise God, that's behind me. But tomorrow may be a new one and even more difficult than what you've already experienced. My wife and I do not know. We have plans for the next month and a half, things we want to accomplish and get done, but we don't know what's going to happen. We had anticipation when our boys were young that every one of them would get saved and live for God, and we'd live for God as a family, united, but that didn't happen, not to this point at least. But I don't underestimate God, that God can bring that to pass. But even in those difficult hours of your life and ours, even in those difficult times when we don't understand the circumstances we find ourselves in, and even if we wished a million worlds over that they were different, we can still make a choice in those times to live for God in spite of our circumstances. We have no choice over our circumstances many times, but we have a choice whether to live for God. Life brings cruelty and hardships and trials and tribulation that we never would wish on anyone, regardless of their upbringing or their circumstances where they may live or not live. But I'm telling you, in all those situations, you and I can determine, and it would be best to determine early, that we're going to try to live for God regardless of the circumstances. Now, if you're here not saved, you don't need to have the Lord to turn to in times of difficulties. But those of us that are saved by the grace of God, we can turn to Him. I'm telling you, when these young men in chapter number 1 made their declaration that they was going to stand for God, I guarantee you that it helped them in chapters 3 and chapter 6. Because they'd already made that determination in their life. They'd already chosen to serve God regardless. And now they find themselves over and over and over again in similar circumstances. And they still made the right choice to live for God regardless of their circumstances. We have friends that have went through circumstances that we've never had to go through. Hardships, trials, ongoing things in their life. I don't know what they feel like in their heart. All I can see is from the outside, and I can see them still going to church, still trying to be faithful. I'm not saying it's easy for them. I'm not saying it's a bed of roses for them. And sometimes you say, I don't know what I'd do in their circumstances. But one thing I wish I could do, say whatever the circumstances are, if I were faced with that, I'd still want to live for God and serve God. Things may get more difficult as days go on. I would say the Bible declares it's going to. How difficult it's going to get before we leave this world, I do not know. But one thing I do know is all these people that's included in these four men, whether as a larger group of four, which was small compared to the rest, a smaller group of three, or a single individual, circumstances did not alter their choice to live for God and serve God. You've seen people, so have I, the least little thing, and you don't see them for 6 weeks. But you know, for me it was little. It might not have been a little for them. And you hope that they'll come back. But we have no choice in what somebody else does. We can't, if everybody in the church decides not to come back, what about you? What about me? When difficulties arise and what all the plans that you had just crumble at your feet. Those circumstances that you had absolutely no control over should not change our choice to live for God. I'm just simply trying to encourage you tonight. I don't know what lies ahead. I don't know what's going to happen. I could probably say with certainty it's going to get worse. Circumstances are going to get more difficult, harder. But I can also say, ladies and gentlemen, that in the midst of all that and in spite of all that, we can still determine in our hearts to go with God. May God help us to do that tonight. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would please help this congregation. Lord, I know they're no different than us or other people we know that want to serve the Lord, that difficulties and trials and situations in their lives and circumstances are so great sometimes they just don't know how they're going to wake up in the morning. But Lord, if you'd help us to determine in our hearts that we're going to serve you, if we'd make that choice, we might come in low and we might come in, Lord, not very appreciative of the things we ought to be, but help us to come seeking help from you, looking for you to strengthen us and help us. And may we make the proper choices in life that we would live for you and serve you regardless of our circumstances. Please help this pastor here. Lord, I understand the burdens and the pressures of being a pastor. Brother Shepherd has added pressures, Lord, with the radio station and other things, Lord, that I never had to face. I pray that you'd strengthen him, help him, and help this church to rally together to do the will of God in this place, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.